Hello to every one of you tuned in to 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county that we're so lucky to have. And thank you for listening to Art Scene. I'm Sarah Moran. I'm chatting with Dee Asanase Douglas. Dee is a contemporary figurative painter and an educator, and he serves as an Indigenous artist in residence with the York Region District School Board and an educational partner with the Toronto District School Board. He'll be here in the county in August conducting a portraiture workshop. He proudly identifies as Ganyen Gehaga, that's Mohawk, and he's coming to the county in August to run a portraiture workshop. Hello to you, Dee.
Hello there. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm nice and cool in this recording booth. I'm hoping you're cool in your basement.
Oh, yeah. I've been hiding away in the studio doing some painting. It's a good excuse to get some painting done. I don't feel so guilty not being outside. It's quite hot, so I'm happy to be here.
Well, welcome to the Art Scene Show, and I'm so glad you're here, even though we interrupted your painting.
Not a problem at all. Thank you very much for having me.
Before we chat about your artistic practice, just tell us a bit about yourself. What formed you, and how did you become an artist?
It's a long story. I've been painting, well, I've been creating all my life. Painting is just one expression of what I've done over the past, oh, I don't know, 50, 55 years. My first oil painting was when I was 12 years old, so that sort of gave me the bug. But I've been involved in sculpture and printmaking and wood carving. And, you know, at this later junction in my life, oil painting is the way I prefer to express myself. It's something that I'll get better at. Painting is one of those things where you're never at your peak, at your top best. And I always tell students that, you know, they always ask me, what's my best painting? And I tell them, well, my best painting hopefully will be the one just before I die, because you're constantly learning as an artist. You're always improving. You know, practice makes perfect. And every painting that I create, I build upon and I learn something new. And the next painting is always better than the last. I don't really have a best painting. I'm hopefully the one that I do before I pass away is the one that will be my best.
And what do you think draws you to oil painting particularly?
Essentially the effects that you can get, the way that you can layer the paint. People aren't aware of this, but oil paint is very transparent. And the way that I paint is each layer builds upon the other. So I'll create the base for the painting, the block in. I'll build upon that. The previous layers will always affect the layer that I'm working on. So it's almost like a chess game. You need to visualize how each layer will affect the next layer to come and build it in that way. There's so many different effects that you can get in oil painting that you can't get in something such as acrylic. And I've always been attracted to the classical painters. When I was young, I was about 14, I guess, I decided that I wanted to paint like Rembrandt. You know, that was quite unusual for, you know, a young Mohawk boy to want to paint like a European painter, painting, you know, woodland style, that sort of thing. And my father always wanted me to, you know, draw a bear or paint a bear. But I wanted to paint like Rembrandt. Right now, I'm influenced by the Pre-Raphaelites, the Romantic. I really enjoy the design of Muncho. Oh, there's a lot of different contemporary painters. So oil, for me, it's just giving me what I want, and I'm getting closer to Rembrandt. You know, painters, what we're doing is we're painting light. We're not painting subjects. We're painting light, the effects of the light on the subject, the way the hair would glow, and the way the skin reflects back the light. So it's more of a representation of the light rather than the subject.
Because we're on radio, maybe you can just describe a little bit about your work for us.
A lot of my current work is on Instagram, but I'll try to describe what I've been currently doing. Let me preface that with something, though.
Yeah.
For the past, 9, 10 years, I've been painting Indigenous-themed work. I did a, a series of paintings about residential schools and that sort of thing. And it sort of traveled from museum to museum for about 4 or 5 years within Southern Ontario. I kind of went through that topic emotionally after the 5 years, and I found it difficult to continue painting, you know, residential schools and anything that was very overtly Indigenous in nature. So I started to explore other themes that seemed important within my life, or other themes that seemed to, you know, trigger responses from me, because my paintings are about emotion. It's about giving the viewer a feel for what I'm trying to express. So it's about emotion, and I've been working more towards subjects which are not Indigenous, but they still have that emotion. So a number of paintings were trying to capture the essence of love in a way. I can't explain. I mean, if I could explain it in words, I wouldn't have to create the painting, I like to say. Right now, my current painting is of Juliet from Romeo and Juliet. I'm a big fan of Shakespeare, and I'm creating a painting of Juliet and her dagger just before she plunges it into her chest after finding out that Romeo had died. So this is, it's not an Indigenous topic, but it's a topic that interests me. It's about teenage angst and love. And I think the next painting might be Lady Macbeth. I have this vision in my head of Lady Macbeth and her bloody hands, and I may move on to The Tempest and that sort of thing. So a lot of the paintings that I'm creating are very non-Indigenous in subject matter, but they're topics that interest me. And when I envision a painting, I almost have a complete idea of what it's going to look like, along with the emotions that I want the painting to hold or portray to the viewer. So it doesn't always work out, and in a lot of cases, I can feel it, but sometimes the viewer can't.
So I just want to move on to your teaching. It's obviously very important to you, and mm-hmm. you talk about how you bring art, culture learning, social issues, and traditional oral stories into the classroom. Why is that so important?
Well, I started that about 15 years ago when my sons, they were in elementary school. I think it was something like grade 6, maybe grade 7. I wasn't doing it at the time. I was strictly, you know, painting and being an artist. One of the teachers asked me if I could come in and speak to the students, because at the time I had written and illustrated a children's storybook, and they wanted me to come in and talk about the book and tell the story. And I went in. It went well. I mean, the kids really enjoyed the experience. And as I was leaving, it's a portable. As I was leaving the portable, one of the girls that was in the class, she ran up to her father because it was the end of the school. And I was watching this, and I could hear her very clearly. She pointed at me and said, "That man's an Indian, you know, an Indigenous person." Mm-hmm. And that struck me as very interesting, because it told me that she wasn't used to seeing an Indigenous person.
Right.
She was so excited to meet somebody like that. It made me think that I needed to get out to more schools to tell people that we're still around. For the longest time, I felt like a unicorn living in Markham, and you know, being the only Indigenous person that I was aware of. So what I started doing was going to classroom. I wasn't getting paid at the time. It was something that I did because I felt that it needed to be done. I needed for the students to realize that Indigenous people still existed. Because up until this point, they were teaching from older history books that placed Indigenous people in the past. So we were historical items to be studied, but we weren't considered contemporary individuals living within their society. So I found that by going to classroom and talking about, you know, culture and myself, that the students began to realize that there were Indigenous people within their community. Eventually, the York Region District School Board found out that I was doing this for free, and they said, "Well, why don't you come work for us, and we'll give you assignments." I'm not an employee of the board. I'm a consultant, what they call, but I do go from classroom to classroom now, and I talk about culture. I talk about my experiences. I have, you know, residential family experiences that I used to talk about. I don't do that as much anymore. It's kind of a subject that has a deeper effect on me now that I'm older. But I go in and, you know, I talk about art. I talk about my own art practice as well. So the kids are very responsive, and I like to use stories as a springboard for our art. I remember growing up, my stepmother would trick us into eating liver and broccoli by placing it into spaghetti sauce. So I think of my lessons like that, where they think that I'm teaching them art, but I'm also teaching them culture, and I'm also teaching them the language, and I'm teaching them history and all these other subjects that they normally wouldn't be interested in. I've been doing this for about 10 years, more or less full time. I believe that I've been in contact with at least 10,000 students over that course of about 10 years. So
that is huge.
Yeah, it's quite the impact. I have a lot of older students now coming up to me and saying hi, and I'm sure it's the same with other teachers, but I don't really recognize them, but people are recognizing me within the community, and I'm beginning to realize that I had this influence on them, because it's been at least 8 years since I've seen them, and they still remember who I am. So
yeah,
it's a nice feeling to have this effect on people.
I want to talk about your workshop, which is a portraiture workshop. Tell us a little bit about it, and then I just have a question about it.
It's an oil painting portrait workshop. It's geared towards an intermediate and advanced painters. Now, a beginner could also take it if they wanted to, but I'm not going to be teaching, you know, how to put the paint on the canvas and that sort of thing. I just want them to be aware of the medium is for creating flow in your paint. It's not to clean your brushes. So they're very basic. So, I mean, somebody who hasn't had a lot of experience oil painting could probably take it, but there's certain aspects that I won't be getting into, because what I want to do is start from the beginning, and I want to give them a process that they can follow that will take them from a blank canvas to hopefully a successful painting. Now, the way that I oil paint is very much on with layers, so I could have up to 30, 40 layers of paint. There's also something called alla prima, where you get the painting completed in one sitting. I'll be doing something similar to that, which will be, I call it my first layer or my base layer. So they'll be brought up to that point, and then if they want to continue working on the painting, they can continue with the multiple layers, or they may be happy with what they've created by Sunday, which will be the alla prima painting. But I'm going to start them off at the very beginning, the way that I'm currently working, because I found it the most successful way of, you know, getting a good painting completed, because there are thousands and thousands of ways to start a painting. But I'll be introducing them to what I consider the easiest and most successful way of starting. I'll be talking about the palette that I use. Most people, or a lot of people, seem to be interested in flesh tones and the palette that you use for flesh tones, and really there's so many different combinations. I'll be teaching them the combination that I use, and the way that I use different colors to create the flesh tones. And it's a very somewhat limited palette, but I use a lot of complementary colors to adjust it according to the temperature of the light that I'm trying to portray. So I'm going to basically try to download as much as the information that I have learned over, you know, the last 30, 40 years in these different sessions, and trying to help students along and hopefully help them understand a little better. I want them to understand as well, they won't be expert painters by the end of the workshop, but I will be giving them the information or the tools to allow them to practice and hopefully improve through time. Because let's face it, creating a painting, creating any form of art, is about practice and it's about time. You're not going to become an expert right away. You need to put in that time in order to figure out what you're doing. It's the younger students, I like to tell them this, because they always want to have the perfect painting, the first painting that they ever create. I tell them that, you know, myself as an artist, it's taken me decades to understand how my paints work. And it's become so innate to my painting style that I don't even have to think about mixing colors, or I don't have to think about laying down the paint on the canvas. It happens. When you get into the zone, it just happens. But it comes from my head and it goes out my paintbrush, and I don't even think about the in-between. It's like a musician that's very expert at playing their instrument. Guitar, for example, they don't look at their fingers and they don't think about where their fingers are going. They know that their hands know where the strings are and they know where the notes are, and they just naturally, you know, form the note. So they can concentrate more on the song and getting the spirit out of that song. Mm-hmm. They don't have to worry about the mechanism, because that mechanism is so much a part of who they are. It's the same with painting. When I paint, I don't think of the mechanism. I just want to create what I'm creating.
Even when you're very early on in your practice and, you know, trying to master the basics, do you think people can still be thinking about what you said about expressing the essence of a person in a portrait?
Oh, definitely. Mm. Oh, definitely, yeah. They may be a little concerned about the mechanics of it, but I think they can still create that essence. I've seen it happen quite often. In a lot of cases, I tell people, you're not copying something. It's about using that reference, whether it's a live person or whether it's a photograph, using that reference to create something that goes through you, and you're manipulating it and you're trying to create this image that has feeling. Painting a portrait or creating any type of painting isn't about copying. It's about interpreting what you see, filling in the gaps with your thoughts or your spirit, and trying to place that onto the canvas for other people to feel.
I think you're right. I think the more of the artist's own humanity is going into the painting, the more likely that the person, you know, engaging with that painting feels that humanity, right?
And yeah, exactly.
That's where that comes from. Do you think that by coming to a workshop like this, people might actually change their approach in how they paint portraits and kind of end up in a different place?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's what a workshop is supposed to do. It's supposed to give you additional tools to either help you see differently or help you to work differently. But, you know, a workshop is meant to enhance the person's work and to change the way they're currently working.
Right.
You know, as an artist, as you go through and you learn new things, you throw out what doesn't work and you keep what does work.
And just talking to you makes me think that people will really enjoy working with you in a workshop. I just wanted to let people know that it's happening in August at Macaulay House. Go to the County Museum's website to find out more information than you and I have time to deliver, or people have the capacity to remember. So thank you so much, Dee, for coming on to the Art Scene Show. That was a very meaningful and inspiring conversation about painting, and a great way of giving people a glimpse into what they might expect if they do sign up for the workshop. And just a big thank you for all that work you're doing in the community to bridge cultures and bring people together and create more understanding between all of us.
Thank you very much for having me, and I really appreciate you allowing me to talk about, you know, myself and my art and what I'm doing.
You've been listening to Dee Asanase Douglas, a contemporary figurative painter and an educator who's running a portraiture workshop here in the county in August at Macaulay House Museum. And you can find out more about the workshop if you go to the County Museum's website. On next Friday's Art Scene Show, Cheryl Singer will be here, chatting with painter Anthony Bertazzoni. Art Scene is co-hosted by Caitlin Thornton, Cheryl Singer, Marianne Farrell, Pamela Mayhew, and me, Sarah Moran. If you have an idea for a story to run on the show, please let us know at artscene@993countyfm.ca. Thank you so much for listening in to Art Scene here on The Voice of the County.